When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Talking! Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome. It's a little bit of a hybrid podcast this week, so forgive me for the changes. It's just me, Guy Henderson, this week. Richard is poorly. Sorry to hear that, mate. Hope you get better soon. And Dave has got trouble with the trusty Skoda, so he hasn't been on parade this morning either. So it's just me for the intro. What we will do on the podcast is in a few minutes' time, we'll go off and eavesdrop on Gary Johnson's weekly press conference. And then after that, I'm chatting to Bob Cole, who is the co-vice chair of the Talker United Supporters Trust. He's talking just as a Talkie fan. He's not talking on behalf of the Trust, but he's got some very interesting things to say about the state of things at Plainmoor. And so we'll chat to him in a little bit. We'll also talk about one or two things that the fifth Beatle that Julian has been flagging up for us. And also I will nominate one goal that I saw recently at Plainmoor that I think should be among the greatest goals of all time, scored at our great stadium. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. First of all, as ever, we'll go over and listen to the gaffer, and I'll be back on the other side of Gary Johnson.
Gaffer, I suppose in some ways this press call may replicate some of last week, but can I begin by first of all just having your reflections on the Maidstone game, the league game last Saturday, a few days on now?
Yeah, I feel the same as I felt after the game. I mean, I thought the 10 men did well. You know, they kept the kept us in the game. Maidstone knew that we were a man down, so you know they could try and get at us. But we actually created the best chances with 10 men. I was disappointed with the first 20 minutes. We didn't really adjust to their game quick enough, and then obviously Marsh made his slight misjudgment and got himself sent off, and then all of a sudden your backs are against the wall. But I thought the lads worked very hard, and you know, we thank the ones that appreciated that those lads did work hard, because I could tell how disappointing the dressing room was that we let them score that that goal. It was deflected anyway as well, and didn't end up with a draw with 10 men for an hour. So, but it's interesting that we play them again. We're looking forward to it, that's for sure. You know, there were certain things we didn't think went our way from an officialdom point of view. But we'll learn from that and look forward to this fantastic competition that we all love in England, the FA Cup. Be great to get the positive fans in the stadium, because the FA Cup, you know, you could earn yourself a very good game, as we did a year or two ago, last year, wasn't it? Against Derby, and we could have an atmosphere like that again in the first round proper and beyond. Who knows? Do you know what I mean? You never know. So you have to put all your efforts into getting through to the next round. And I'm sure that's what we're allowed to do.
In many ways, it almost seems like a two-legged affair. Of course, both games are at home, though. Does that make it any more difficult or any easier at all in your preparations for it?
It saves the travelling, I suppose. But, if we can... I think if we had a choice, we'd rather be at home than travelling in this round, you know, when it's important to get to the first round proper. The home games can be made better by the support that most of our fans give us, and we need to, we need to get the club going in this. The FA Cup's all about momentum, and so if we can get a nice, bright, energetic team, and that brings on the bright, energetic, loud support, then the world's your oyster, as we say. I don't think I've said it for a little while. So I'm going to thank the ones that are going to come to the game, pre-game, of course, and hopefully we can get our football club looking like a force it was before the defeat of last week.
When you're playing the same opponent 2 weeks running, when you're looking at the preparations before the game itself, are there things that you're able to sort of focus on, that things that didn't go quite right, things that did go quite well? Because like you said, with 10 men, actually your team still did create a lot of chances. There's certainly stuff to build on, isn't there?
There is, and you learn a lot, of course. You do a lot of watching of the game back, and I'm deciding that we're going to play with 10 men this week. and then your tactics and everything, and obviously the opposition are going to do the same on you as well, and we don't know what shape or team they're going to pick, they don't know what shape or team we're going to pick, so it's still a question mark over it all. But you just got to be ready. But you know what happens, the lads got to turn up on the day. They've turned up on a few occasions. We've had great home form up until last week, I think. Well, we lost just a couple of league games at home, and we want to keep that going. We want to keep playing more as a fortress if we can. It's been impregnated a couple of times, but it got us to third, fourth in the league, and we just dropped slightly because of that. But this week, all our focus is on the FA Cup and getting through to the next round.
We are so close now to the first round proper, which is where the interest levels really do raise. Obviously, we've already touched upon last year's game against Derby County. Do you feel the magic of the Cup still when it comes to FA Cup weekends? Obviously, you've been through so many of those games in your career already.
Yeah, it does to me. It's up the individual, season ticket holders sometimes don't come to FA Cup games, which is a shame because we need them. They're our loyal supporters, so it'd be great if we see more of them coming to the games, and we thank the ones that do. It's still exciting, and sometimes you have to earn your big games, and sometimes you get beat by smaller teams because you haven't thought of what might happen. And I've been in situations where we've gone quite a long way. I mean, at Cambridge, as assistant manager, we got through, as a fourth division club and a third division club, we got through to two quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We got beat by Arsenal 1-0 at Highbury in one, and Crystal Palace 1-0 in the other. These are the quarterfinals for fourth and third. So, although you don't think that far ahead, but it is possible to get the right draws along the way, and you can get the momentum going in the FA Cup that keeps the league momentum going. And so it's always important to enjoy the FA Cup days.
And looking at the bigger picture, I guess when it comes round to the first round draw, if you can get there, and just to, without jumping too far ahead, to look at the prize that is at stake, it puts Torquay United back in the limelight again, isn't it, being in that first round draw? So it's a massive prize for this football club, and we're going to need everyone behind us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure the right ones will be. You know, they always are. And, you know, as I say, we thank them for their loyal support, those ones. But, yeah, nothing's better than to be able one day to get the old... one day this season, get the flags, the old golden flags out again, and get the Playmore rocking again, and be great to see that. But you know, you have to start by winning these types of games to earn the right to get that big day at whatever round it is in the FA Cup.
And in the FA Cup, obviously, you can have a bigger bench, which of course means that you will need more personnel. Asa Hall made a return on Saturday, which is obviously a big boost. How's he been in training since that cameo on Saturday?
Yeah, he's done well. You know, I'm not sure he's ready for 90 minutes just yet, but he will believe he is. And to get somebody with his experience, who's had a lot of FA Cup exploits as well himself, it's great to have him back. But, you know, we'll pick a team. You have seven subs, but you can only use three. So long as you've got four subs on the bench, three outfielders and a goalkeeper. Because sometimes clubs don't want to loan people out and cut time. Sometimes you've got some niggly injuries that are better off in the gym recuperating, sort of thing, than just sitting on the bench as a number. So I'd try not to do that. But anyway, we'll have enough. We got players that are coming back from injury. So they'll all get their opportunity at some stage. And when we get a full house, it'll be a miracle, as all the clubs will say. But a full house of players would be, the players in the team, a full house, yeah, but the supporters would be great. But I'm talking about the team. Then that'll be great. Then we'll see that we've got enough competition, we've got enough people that we can play if somebody's got a slight knock. Sometimes you have to play people with a slight knock, but I'm happy with our situation and with our squad, so that's the important thing for me. And I think we've got enough to compete in both competitions, all three competitions.
Gary, does the modern day player get as excited about the FA Cup as you do?
I don't know. I hope so. I think they do, because I always remind them that every big game goes out to more people. And then if Torquay United get a reputation that they've got players there that are doing well, then it enhances the players' reputations, the club's reputation. But obviously the players can, I don't want to lose anybody, but I've had players that have had big moves through doing well in big games, because you're proving yourself and to other teams, if you like, higher teams, against a higher team, a big team, if you get through to that far. So, yeah, every game in the FA Cup is an opportunity for the club itself and for the player. And I think if they bring out their best game, then football's a great game to earn a very, very good living if you put it in.
How big a miss will Ross be, Marshall?
It'll be a loss, because I think he's done well. I mean, he's absolutely gutted with his situation. It was a misjudgment that he made himself, and for me it was a penalty. Mark done his job and ended up saving it, but we were down to 10 men. Great save, by the way. It'll be a loss, but I've got people, and we'll cover that, and I'm quite happy with what we're going to go into the game with.
And when you lose to an opponent and then you play them again the following week, is it as simple as saying, well, you did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, you just need to get these right and you get the result, or is it a bit more complicated than that?
You're dealing with 11 human beings, or 16 human beings, if you like, and they'll always, if you say, look, you've done this wrong, they'll always go, yeah, yeah, no, I understand that, you're dead right. And that's the first thing you've got to get, that they agree with your criticism, if you like. But then they got to go and produce what I'm thinking they can produce and what they've agreed that that's what they're going to produce. Do you know what I mean? But then you have 11 other humans that are trying to stop you doing that. I've said that before. And so it's competitive, and everything's relative. Everything, you know, I know people want us to win 10-0 every week at this level, but it doesn't happen because of the relativity. And but, you know, we're still okay in the league, doing okay, and we've still got a good opportunity with 3/4 of the season to go. And we're still, at this moment in time, as we speak, we're still in the FA Cup. So we know that we got some good players because we've seen it. It's just trying to prepare them right, get them ready mentally and physically. Go on, now go and do your job.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gary.
All right.
Let's just say, one of the players who's catching the eye at the moment is Lewis Collins. He's playing, I think he's playing really well through that midfield. What's behind the improvement in Lewis? Because you're obviously bringing something more out of Lewis this season.
It's letting him, you know, I think he believes in his own head that he's a good player, we needed to find a game, the game for him. You know, he runs all day long, he's a fantastic athlete, he's got great ability, he's got everything, he's got all the tools. He just sometimes hammers when he needs a screwdriver, do you know what I mean? And so he's still learning the game. He won't like me saying that because that's the way he is. He thinks he's ready-made. But he can be a top-class player, and he's just got to get the right game at the right time, because he's very good at driving at people. He's got a great shot on him. I know one of his shots hit the church steeple.
Still going up, I think.
He's still travelling. he's a very good player for us to have, and I know I can get the best out of him. And he wants me to get the best out of him. That's the main thing. That's the big thing. So I think he'll only get better.
And your team's creating a lot of chances at the moment. Yeah. Even down to 10 men, they created a lot of chances in the second half, even in the opening seconds of the second half. That sharpness will come, though. One of the sharpness is that something that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, we do as much final third work as you need to do. But again, when you're out there, you know, Jarvis's header was he done great to get there and just, you know, missed the far post. You got Bradley Ashton, that you'd have expected him, the way he is, to have tucked that one in where he just had the goalie to beat and it went over the bar. Laps had two headers, but I wouldn't say Laps is, you know, your best header of a ball in the world, but he got in there. So that's good, because if he gets in there, law of averages says that he'll score eventually, which he has done. You know, he's done well getting in there late and fast. So it's on the day, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's on the day. We've got good players. We can win the league. We can go further in the cup. It's just that 90 minutes of a Saturday that it needs to come together. And you must respect the opposition. You don't over-respect them, which some people might concede me saying that, from saying you've got to respect them. But you do, because, you know, we even in the games we've won, you couldn't say, you know, that the teams are absolutely useless. You know what I mean? And we've had to play well to win the game. And so you have to get that consistency.
Good stuff. Interesting to hear Gary there talking about the FA Cup, the enduring appeal of the FA Cup. And Lewis Collins, who knew he had a toolkit that he takes along with him to football? But interesting. I think Lewis Collins has been one of the success stories of the season so far. Now, let's have a chat with Bob Cole. Bob, as I say, the co-vice chair of the Torquay United Supporters Trust, but on this occasion, he's talking just as Torquay United fan, Bob Cole.
Yeah, so I wanted to make it clear that although I'm on the board of TUSC, I'm speaking in personal capacity, and these are my opinions and not necessarily shared by other board members.
Because, I mean, since last Saturday's game, the 1-0 defeat at the hands of Maidstone, a lot has been said. I mean, again, the great beast of social media has been kicked into life. But, apart from the usual suspects on social media, there's been some very interesting debate about Torquay United, and the phrase managed decline has been used a few times. What do you think people mean by that, Bob?
Well, I think the term managed decline comes from industry and economics. But I think in this context, what fans mean and when I've used it, I've meant really that that not enough is being invested in the club sufficiently to avoid us slipping down the football pyramid. And the problem with that is the worry is that with a club the size of Torquay, and particularly a ground the size of Claymore, if you keep going down the pyramid, you're going to get to a point where it's unsustainable, you know, and, you know, the business will fold and will go into liquidation. So I think there's a genuine fear at the moment for the future of the club. And I just think, you know, why fans are worried. So I think we've been on a, I think fans can see that we've been on a downward trajectory since the playoff final at Ashton Gate. Mm-hmm. We're now in tier six, which is, you know, step two of the football pyramid. And, you know, we don't, well, I think a lot of people thought that when we were relegated last season, that we would, there would be an uptick, we would bounce back. And so fans weren't really worried, you know, this is a low, but we're gonna, and it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look, if you see us playing, we don't look like that. If you remember when we met at the training session for season ticket holders, you said to me, are you optimistic for the coming season? And I said, yeah, I think all we've got to do is sort of match Yeovil and go one better. But the problem is we don't look anywhere near, no. You know, that. And I think that's a concern. If I can just make a comparison of how I think we should look in this league, I would compare what we should look like in this league to Wrexham. Last season in the National League, they were a team to be feared. They didn't win every game, but they were a team to be feared. They had players that could obviously play two leagues above. Some of them, they had a large squad, and it was depth. You know, we don't look anything like that. We don't look as if we can boss this league. We're struggling, and I think that's the worry.
To become the Wrexham of National League South would take a lot of investment. I mean, Wrexham threw a massive amount of money at that last year. Where would that investment come from? Do you think Gaming International should be dipping deep into their pockets again and throwing some more money at this?
Well, I think so. I mean, what is the alternative? I mean, some fans are saying, well, you know, it's Gary Johnston's fault because he's had the budget and blown it. Players that you know aren't up to the standard. I think we have some good players. We have some okay players, but for me, it's the lack of depth in the squad. We should, you know, if we've got an injury, if Aaron Jarvis, who's a brilliant player at this level, got injured, Who is there to step in?
Well, there wasn't an attacking player on the bench against Maidstone last week.
No. And I think the other thing is, if you look at the bench, there's no one there, really, I suppose. There's no one there, really, that you think is going to come on and change the game.
You hinted at it just now. Do you think that any other manager would be able to come in and get more of a tune out of the same squad? I mean, or are Gary Johnson's hands tied?
The, there's Gary ins and Gary outs. I think that at this level, with a big enough budget and the right players, he should be able to get us out of this league. I'm not really I'm a bit ambivalent at the moment about the manager. I think that, do you know what I mean? I don't think it's a question, the problem isn't with the manager or the players. I'm answering your question here, that I think that we should, there should be a bigger budget. He's got to be given, we've got to have more players and better players if we're going to boss this league, if we're going to challenge Yeovil, because not to do so would, to be in this league next season, I think we're heading for trouble, really, because then we're in this league next season. Are we then heading for relegation next season? It's not out of the question. You know, no team has a right to. Any position in pyramid. You earn your right to be wherever you are. And if we're not earning our right, we are going to find ourselves going down the pyramid. And as I say, you can only go so far down before you become unsustainable. I think that's the worry for fans, that at the moment we're at this level and not cutting it.
We've talked there, Bob, about this season, about next season, but in the long term, if there is such a thing as a managed decline, what are the solutions to that? How do you turn this around and get Torquay facing the right way?
I think before I answer that, I think I'd like to say why I think this is happening. Why fans think it's happening. So there's the possibility that, the owner is not putting enough in because, putting less in, knowing that the club is sort of contracting, getting, the playing budget isn't big enough to compete. And it might be just to reduce costs and minimise losses. But, of course, there's always the fact that when he acquired the club, he made very plain that he wanted to build a new stadium, and that project, if you like, doesn't seem to be going to happen. There's no real doesn't seem to be any viable site within the bay to build a stadium. So you sort of get the feeling that project of his it isn't going to happen. So is he winding up? Is this his way of winding up this project, his Torquay United project? I think that's that's something that occurs to me that I worry about.
I was going to say, I mean, fan ownership of clubs happens in other places, it happens overseas. I mean, do you think fan ownership of a club is a possible way forward, and how could that happen?
So I'm on the test board, and we have, and it's on our FAQs page, in some detail of, how we've planned and what we think. But we don't see ourselves as going for wanting to buy the club. We see ourselves really as a safety net, a solution of last resort. I mean, there's no club that's fan-owned in this country, I don't think so anyway, that hasn't become fan-owned, that hasn't gone into administration, and that's the last thing we want. So we are there, Toast is there, if the worst was to happen. But that's that's the last thing we want. What, Southend and Scunthorpe recently have found new owners, and people sort of say, well,
Gaming International,
we wouldn't have a club. They did put the money in, You know, that those they did keep, they have kept the club afloat, but they bought the club. Who's to say that there aren't people out there, you know, given the chance, wouldn't want to buy Torquay United? And that, so I think, or, I mean, the perfect solution really would be to for Clark Osborne to realise the concern and the passion that fans have and communicate with the fans and put more investment in. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? Part of this problem is that there is no communication. We, you know, you and Tust and, you know, the press, when we got relegated, we're all clamouring for the owner to say something at the end of last season. Eventually he did, but, you know, it's... we don't get any proper sort of communication. In fact, even if it was things we didn't want to hear, if we knew where we stood, I think it would end sort of speculation about things like, you know, managed decline and on social media.
Mm. Because at the end of the day, the club, I mean, we're all wringing our hands this week, but we are still in a playoff place. We're still... as Gary's just said in his press conference, we're still in a decent position, but there is work to do behind the scenes, isn't there? It would help a lot if maybe the club was more open.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I say we do seem to be on a downward trajectory. If you look at the... Because I always think that, you know, a club, any club can have a bad season, maybe two, but over the long term, where clubs are going... is down to the commitment and intentions of the owner. So, I mean, I would just like to see us. I think every fan would like to see us on like an upward trajectory. Maybe it will turn around, you know, this Saturday. But on last Saturday's performance, you know, you can't really see it. And with the team at the moment, despite having some. You know, good players. Say that it doesn't seem to be. There doesn't seem to be a big enough squad, depth in the squad, and enough good players to challenge the Yeovil, which is what we should be doing. I mean, you know, so we might end up being second, but you know, I mean, I think we are 11th. You know, for a club of our aspirations and a club that is supposedly trying to get back into, you know, the Football League, 11th in the sixth tier of the football pyramid, isn't good enough.
Bob Cole from the Torquay United Supporters Trust, thanks very much for joining me, Bob. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk to you again later in the season. So good to have Bob along, a bit of a different perspective on the way things are going at Torquay right at the moment. I have been in touch with the club today to say it would be great to have somebody from the management of the football club along, write a reply if you like, just to hear what they think about the phrases like managed decline being bandied around. Be interesting, and I'll let you know how that goes. A few bits of housekeeping then before I let you go. Julian has been keeping an eye on the National League as ever. Matt Bewes has signed for Truro. Penalty King Matt Bewes has signed for Truro. So we'll be seeing him on December the 30th because our game at Bolitho Park has been moved. It was New Year's Day. It's now December the 30th, and that's probably because Argyle are at home on that day. They're at home to Watford on New Year's Day, and I imagine the police probably are looking to keep one game on each day. So Torquay will play Truro at Bolitho Park on December the 30th. Argyle will play Watford at Home Park on New Year's Day. A few other bits and pieces to line up. Sinclair Armstrong has been offered a new contract by QPR. Apparently Manchester City, Crystal Palace and Celtic are after him. We know why, because we had Sinclair for a while. What a good player he is, but he's been offered a new contract by QPR. Luke Pearce, who went back to Southampton after a loan spell at Torquay, has gone on loan straight away to Weston-super-Mare, where he played the full 90 minutes last week and will almost certainly play against us at Weston on October the 24th, when we go up there. Tickets on sale for that one now. Tickets also on sale for our game at Taunton on November the 21st. They're quite small grounds, these, so it might be an idea to snap up a ticket if you get the chance. Before I go, I want to nominate a goal, which I saw at play more recently, for one of the greatest of all time. And that goal was Tom Lapsley's goal against Hungerford, the fourth goal in that 5-0 win over Hungerford. And the Tom Lapsley goal I'm nominating. I mean, there are some great goals at Playmore over the years. You'll remember Unino Kane against Plymouth. You'll remember Derek Dawkins against Spurs. Matt Hockley with a half volley from the edge of the box that went into the roof of the net against Halifax. But Tom Lapsley's goal, I'll put up there. And here's the reason why. If you watch the highlights back on YouTube or on the club website, Tom Lapsley's shot, for a start, what was he doing there in the first place? Jack Stobbs had had a shot quite well saved by Ryland Clark. And it looked as if it was going to safety. But there was Tom Lapsley, tireless Tiger Tom Lapsley, on the end of it. And his shot into the corner of the net nutmegs not just one defender, not just two defenders, but it goes through the legs of the goalkeeper as well. It's a croquet shot. It goes through all three of those hoops on the way into the corner of the net. And for that reason, and because it was great, I just want to nominate that as one of the greatest goals of all time at Playmore. Thanks for listening to this hybrid podcast, which is, you'll have heard rather a lot of me and nowhere near enough of Richard or of David. Richard, hope you get better soon. David, hope that old car of yours is fixed soon. I'll see you at Playmore on Saturday for the Maidstone FA Cup game, and we'll be back with another podcast next week. And this is going to sound a bit odd as a solo, isn't it? But come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows.